I interviewed Ilias Anwar,
a content creator and founder of two startups.
Today, we learn about his app Tapped and the world of content creation. My boy, what's up, bro?
What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How about you?
Just busy, bro. I'm nervous. I'm always nervous for these types of things, and then I end up doing them and it ends up fine.
I got to talk to you about, like, everything, man. I want to know everything about you, man. I want to know your origins. Where'd you come from? You know, tell me about your life, dog.
I'm from the East Coast, specifically Virginia. I was born in Herndon, and then I recently moved out to, like, the LA OC area, like, last year.
You are moving to Manhattan soon, all right? You're making some moves to get there, all right? I want to talk to you about all your... You founded multiple businesses and ventures. Right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about Tapped. You know, I have the app. It's great. It works great. How did it come to be? Like, what went into making it? And, like, tell me all about Tapped.
I mean, the jump from, you know, being in Virginia to coming all the way out here and working on the companies was a huge jump. You want me to start from, like, the very beginning, or like, I started getting into everything? You know, TCC Entertainment is a media company that I run, and that's kind of how I ran into passing with you guys. Essentially, you're familiar with Barstool, right?
Yep.
We're trying to build something similar to, like, Barstool, and on a lower end, like Sony, right? Like, Sony creates, like, electronic products. They can do a movie if they wanted to. They have, like, a sports agency side, kind of like a Roc Nation, right? I'd say Roc Nation is the perfect in between. And so TCC Entertainment was like a blog at first when we first started off, and it transitioned into, you know, doing bookings with artists and, you know, doing media coverage, digital marketing, influencer marketing. And with those, you know, connections and experience I got for the past 5-6 years, I was able to identify a couple problems in the booking and entertainment industry. And Tapped is essentially the solution for all those things. And so it's an app that we started about a year and a half ago. It has not been pretty the whole time. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, we came on this idea, we were geniuses, it worked out, blah, blah, blah. No, bro, it did not work out like that at all. I got interviewed for another podcast, which is why I love doing podcasts, because I've been able to be a part of some dope projects that have been seen by, you know, a lot of people, or, you know, help out with some people that, you know, went on to do commercials or albums or whatever. But I have never gotten the most amount of feedback from something other than podcasts. And with the podcasts that I do, I've only had maybe a couple hundred people watch the, you know, podcast that I'm getting interviewed and stuff. But I have people DM me, like, 6 months later or 2 months later, and they're like, yo, bro, I resonate with this. So that's why I'm really, you know, honored to be on this platform, because you just never know who's watching what. And 2 months from now, 3 months from now, even a week from now, who knows might come from it.
The content's evergreen, you know, it lasts forever. It goes around. Man, all this stuff is not easy, bro. Tapped Network, I mean, I looked into it, and it's really good. Like, I'm just talking functionality-wise. I had to download the iOS beta testing app. What's the whole process of getting it up? Like, tell me all about the struggles and stuff.
I'll finish the story, because I know I got kind of off on a tangent. Yeah. But the reason why I was talking about podcasts was because my co-founder was working on a startup called In The Loop, which was basically a TikTok for producers.
Okay.
And they wanted to interview a bunch of people who were involved in, like, the music space. And in my city, we were throwing events at the time, and we were connected to a lot of producers. So he reached out and he said, hey, I want to have you on my podcast. We get on the podcast, we chop it up, and I tell him about an idea I have for the entertainment industry. And essentially, it was a LinkedIn for the music industry, / entertainment industry, where, like, you know, people could network, it's more professional, and, like, it's social media with intention. And so then a couple months later, he hit me up, and all the developers that were working on that project got offers from, like, big Fortune 500 companies. And, like, you know, you got to outweigh the costs and benefits. Like, do you want to go work for Google and make, like, $250 a year, or, like, work on a startup? Like, working on a startup is not fun, bro. It's a lot of hard work. And, you know, I don't blame the people for doing what they did. And, you know, they're killing it right now. But Johannes reached out, and he was like, look, he called me like early January of last year. Yeah. He said, hey, bro, let's run this idea. And at the time, bro, I was like, there's no way he'd ever reach out to me for this. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, hell yeah, bro. And, you know, we got into it, and then that's what started Tapped. And, you know, it is what it is today. And essentially, you know, the way to download it right now is you go on TestFlight, which is basically a app store for beta testing apps, or apps that are still in beta. And so, you know, you were able to download it. You go on the app store, type in TestFlight. Once you get TestFlight, you get a link from our website, or you could reach out to me or Johannes, and you could download the Tap link. And essentially, you get on board. Right now, on the front-facing end, it looks very similar to some other social media sites, which I'm not going to name because I don't know if you can legally say that or not.
Okay.
But I assume you know what I'm talking about. For the people back home who are also going to check it out, you'll get what we mean. But essentially, we want it to be an app for entertainers so they could delete their other apps. Like, for me personally, right? like I was saying earlier, the reason why we created Tapped is because there was a lot of issues that we saw in the booking industry. And I wanted to, help create a platform where I could network and just promote my work. I really care less about what Stacy is doing on Instagram. I could care less about what, Rajanisha's soccer game. No offense to nobody, bro. But like when I go on social media, I want to do it to promote my own work, find like-minded individuals like you guys, and like be able to get my name out there and just make cool stuff. I'm not here to, what is it called? Keeping up with the Joneses?
A
saying?
Yeah.
I don't
like,
care for that,
just
bro.
Just bullshit stuff. Yeah, no. Yeah. That's why I don't even post that much on social media and stuff. Like it is a big time waste unless you use it correctly. And even LinkedIn nowadays is just people jerking themselves off.
You're not wrong, bro.
And everything is weirdly AI generated.
Yes,
like
bro.
The comments are all AI and then the message replies are all AI. So nothing's even genuine anymore. It's just one click, congratulations on your new job at Funky Funk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's crazy. Problem solving, finding a problem in a niche and then providing a solution, that is the quickest way to become a millionaire in this country,
Yeah.
Becoming a business owner and finding a problem and just, solving it. Like you said, for the music industry, you want to be the Barstool type figure. That's amazing, bro.
Yeah.
What inspired you and your partner Johannes?
Johannes, yeah.
Yeah, what inspired you guys to do this? What was the first step? It was you and me, we got to do this, man. What was the fire that struck it,
I think the main thing was that Johannes is very involved in the tech world.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely thrown into the tech world. I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
My only prior knowledge was watching something like The Social Network.
Yeah.
That's all I knew about it. And however, though, I was very involved in the music space, and that's all I dedicate my life to. And I think by bringing in that naive perspective, I was able to offer something new to Johannes that he wasn't really used to with some of the other people that he worked with. Because, the platform that we're creating, you would think that something like this has already been made. And there are platforms that have been made like this, but either they get bought out early or I guess it just fails because it's either too one-sided, right? So the reason why Johannes and I were able to work together so closely is because he's involved in the tech world, I'm involved in the music and entertainment world. There are certain things that I look at, the things that he's doing in the tech space, I'm like, well, why can't we do it like this and vice versa? He's also very organized, he's very structured, he thinks from a very analytical perspective, and I'm very big picture, very excited, let's go do this, that. I'm kind of like the rocket and he's the anchor.
Yeah.
So that's the best way to describe it, and I feel like I've worked with a lot of people on some different projects, and I meet a lot of people who are like me, like big picture, and sometimes I can fail.
Yeah.
Because you need to reel that back a little bit, bro.
You gotta get the Zuckerberg and the Saverns.
Yeah, because I might turn into Fire Festival,
Yeah.
And we don't want that to happen, bro. And so essentially, with Tapped, I think one thing we didn't really brush upon is although it's gonna be a social media site for entertainers and performers to promote their work and connect with one another, the main way that we're able to make money is also allow performers like comedians or entertainers to go and perform at a venue. So right now, the whole booking industry is so gatekept, right? You can't get booked up unless you know a booking agent at this spot, at the Comedy Store specifically for music, maybe at 11 or Main Stage, or I'm just throwing out venue names right now. And a lot of these booking agents are booking people based off proxy. So okay, this artist is in this city, I think he'd be good to bring out here. But there might be a kid in Oklahoma that has a huge Los Angeles demographic. And if you were to book him here, you could get him at a cheaper rate, get a smaller artist paid, and make more money off your margins. Everybody wins. The only difference is that there's no discoverability and people can't put their stuff out there in front of a venue. So let me give you an example, right? If Google's hiring, right? Google's probably going to hire people through word of mouth or references and things of that nature.
Connections.
But sometimes there's slips in the crack where there's a talented, young developer or guy who wants to work at Google and they mess with his resume and then they hire him. We want to be able to do that same thing. Just how you could apply to a job on LinkedIn, you should be able to apply to perform at a venue. Because if you're a struggling comedian and one of the ways that you're not making money is because you can't perform at a venue, well, then why don't we give people the opportunity to get their stuff in front of the venue or the booking agent and things of that nature? Not promising anybody that we're going to get them 1,000 gigs a year, but we can promise that we'll get your stuff in front of the people who could look and consider what you're doing.
Providing them the medium to get to
exactly.
their end goal. Yeah, that's a great thing, man. I see you're going to help out comics and musicians. That's a great niche in the creator economy to help out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really inspiring, bro. Like, I remember you reached out to be on my podcast a while ago, and I was like, I'm going to put this guy down on the list, and I'm going to, like, observe him, see what's up, you know?
Yeah, man, it was hard to get on here. My boy's Hollywood over here, bro. I've gotten into some crazy rooms. It was easy, but Armand's podcast is not easy to get on, bro. Hey, but I'm glad we're here, bro. I'm honored.
No, man, before you left for leave for Manhattan to, you know, go crazy, go ham on it, you know, it's good to see, you know, just people just grinding out and just, you know, achieving dreams, man.
100%.
It's so cool. I wanted you to come here and just talk about everything, because we met like once at a video shoot for one of our mutual friends, and you know, I didn't really get a chance to talk to you. But everyone in the creator space is just, you know, jumping around. So it's good to connect.
Yeah, 100%.
I randomly saw you at Dobricks.
Yeah, that was funny, bro. What a interaction, bro. The Dobricks thing was super inspiring. I mean, you know, you could feel how you want to feel about the whole fiasco and controversy with his name and, you know, what's going on. But I think you got to applaud him as a businessman to create that hype towards something. It's very, very commendable.
No, for sure. I mean, we were there opening day. It's crazy. I got a chance to meet him and talk to him a couple weeks ago. We had lunch. You know, it was crazy to see, bro. Just like, even with all the, like you said, controversies that happened, his, you know, his fan base, they never go. They're true fans, bro. Lines are still really long at Dobricks, you know what I mean? At a prime time spot in Hollywood. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I'll give you guys a tip. If you guys want to sneak into Dobricks, if he ever comes back and has like maybe a re-grand opening, or let's say he's like, oh, hey, I'm at this spot. If you guys want to sneak in, this is what we did. Go to Saddle Ranch, and through the back of Saddle Ranch, there's an opening to go into Dobricks. If you literally just walk through there, you will be able to go in and don't have to wait in no line. I did it myself, and then I told a bunch of other people to do it too, and it worked every single time.
Yeah, this guy's goated with the sauce, bro. Fucking videoed it everything.
Yeah, 100%.
That's crazy, man. Listen, I also want to talk to you about TCC Entertainment. You know, like that's another dope thing you're doing. I see you've employed one of my friends to create for you. That's amazing, bro. Tell me all about TCC.
Yeah, so TCC is basically a media company that kind of tailors towards our generation, or like, you know, think about it like a man cave. Like, if you were to go downstairs into your room, you probably have an MJ poster, you probably have like a Tom Brady poster, you probably have like GTA on the like the table right here, you probably have like a Prime energy drink or something. We want to be able to transcend every different industry for like the 18 to like 30 year old male demographic.
Yeah.
However, we don't want it to be synonymous with like frat culture. Like, I want it to be more in, I guess, like, to the kids who grew up with, like, gaming and streetwear and skateboarding. I want TCC to be able to, like, you know, throw up a skate pop-up event today. And then tomorrow, one of our Twitch streamers that's under our network is streaming, and he has our logo up there. And then let's say, for example, you go to the gas station and you go to get, like, an energy drink, and it's, like, TCC collaborating with Ghost.
Nice.
I want it to be in, like, every single avenue that you could think of to where you'll get so sick of it. And I want it to be like a creative playground. And I've been seeing a lot of people throw that word around now, so I don't want them to think that I'm copying it from Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
He just started something. I swear we've been using creative playground for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have an idea, like, for example, with Prodigy, a content creator that we just brought on to our network, he's working on a movie later this year, like short film with a bunch of content creators. He should be able to bring that to our creative playground. And if we have the resources, we should be able to put that out on our network or on our YouTube channel. And, you know, the influencer network that we have, they could potentially act in it. Or, you know, if we know any videographers, well, then we plug him in with them and have them work together. And so, yeah, I mean, TCC Entertainment is basically just like a creative playground for creators and creatives. If you have a dope idea or you want to be around like-minded individuals, you know, it's a home for you.
Dude, that's amazing, man. Like, I've always thought, like, the creator economy is booming, right? The big figures, like, they've been literally making billions of dollars, the Logan Pauls, the Mr. Beast and stuff. And I think that the pie is going to get bigger and bigger.
Oh,
and
100%.
Yeah, it's a rocket, man. And I think creating mediums for new creators and growing creators is a fantastic thing to do, man.
I'll tell you this, man. I was in Virginia at the time, and I was working for an influencer agency that also does like experiential marketing, but I was more so connected to the influencer side of it. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, so hopefully I don't get in trouble. They did a contract with the White House.
Okay.
And just sitting in on these rooms, I'm not higher up at the company. I was just a small intern, but just sitting in here, being quiet and just listening to the way that they talk about influencer marketing, I was like, oh, bro, this is just the beginning. Because like 2-3 years ago is when we really started to see the corporate brands get involved. And to see the type of money that they're throwing at creators now, it's just only going to be magnified over the next 3-4 years. Now, that's not to say that I got involved in the creator economy for that sole reason. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, we all have to pay our bills. You have to make money. But if content creation is something I'm passionate about and working with creators is something I like to do, and there's a way to make money off that also, then why not? And so once I saw that, that really opened up my eyes to influencer marketing and getting more involved with that. And that was kind of when we made the pivot with TCC Entertainment. And that's when I was like, okay, I need to lock in. I need to make this a reality because things are about to start shaking very, very soon. And we see it now. Look at things like Feastables, Prime, or just even like Coca-Cola wanting to work with some of these bigger creators. Yeah. Or Shopify, you know, they have Mr. Beast becoming the face of it. Yeah. And it's only going to get bigger and even more amplified.
Shopify, like you said, creating mediums and like problem solving for creators. Like if you want to create a business, like I know almost every big creator uses Shopify. Airac, Pizzafy, it's on Shopify.
Yeah.
Feastables and Mr. Beast merch, Shopify. MKBHD's new shoe, yeah. Shopify.
Yeah,
like it's crazy, man. Like it's just growing. I believe in it, and I think it's just gonna keep going. Like the creator economy, people are just gonna keep investing in it. You know what I mean? It's a really good thing. I want to talk to you about being a content creator yourself. Mm-hmm. I know you post vlogs on YouTube. I was watching like last night. I was watching today. It's a lot of fun, bro. Yeah, like picking up a camera and stuff and just recording your life. Like we mentioned earlier, it's evergreen, bro. It's going to last forever on the internet. And, you know, like what made you get into all this?
I mean, when I was younger, I used to take my dad's VHS camera and I would film over like really important footage. Like I think at one point I was making like a Power Ranger, like action figure mini movie. And I filmed over some of like the wedding footage that my parents had.
Yeah.
And so like as a kid, shit. I always just loved, like I could go back and I have some old vlogs. You see that with everybody, like every YouTuber is like, oh, when I was younger, I had VHS footage and I was making the first ever
Ryan
vlog,
Higa,
like Casey
Neistat
instead of all them. But you know, I was just doing it because it's fun to create. And I always saw my dad always recording everything at birthday parties. He was the guy who always had the camera with him. And it was always so dope to me to be able to look back on footage. Now, you know, in terms of content creation, it's still very small. I haven't promoted it. I have a decent following on some of the other socials and I wanted to use that as a vehicle to promote the vlogs, but I've been waiting because I want to build up a catalog first. Because if you promote, like, let's say you make a vlog right now, you start a brand new channel, you're going to bring all this attention when you first introduce the idea of vlogging, and then there's going to be a huge fall off in people who care about your idea. But if you first promote your vlogs and then you have 10 to 15 videos up, now people can watch a whole catalog and now they become a fan. They're not just somebody who stumbled upon one video and they're like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
So that's my idea on it. And to be honest, there might even be some people that I'm close with that don't even know that I made vlogs and they're going to watch this podcast. And now you know, so check it out, you know?
Yeah.
If you haven't already. In terms of content creation, I think I want that to be the vehicle for everything that I do. If you look at somebody like Casey Neistat or Logan Paul and David Dobrik, they created a beautiful ecosystem where they showcase their lifestyle. You know, deal flow is coming in, like business is coming in. They're able to do sponsors and they're also able to promote the business that they have. So Casey Neistat with Beam. Logan Paul with Prime, Mr. Beast with Feastables, David Dobrik with Dispo, and then Dobrik's, right? So I don't know. I just want to create a bunch of cool shit, and I want to film my life, and I think that's the best way to do it. And what better than to connect with people than through vlogs, because then they get to see your journey, and they get to see what you're doing on a daily basis if you're doing daily vlogging.
When you're involved in the creator economy, you're really inherently just getting really good at business. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you, like, we all look at the analytics. We all look at like SEO and metadata and marketing, how to do all this. This is all just business, yeah. To be honest. Like this is like applicable skills that you can use. And I think it's so crazy that like we all have like our own like cohort. You know what I mean? Like we can tell like the people who are just on it. You know, it's crazy, bro. Like you've seen it, bro, in LA. Like the people who are just desperate to get you know, the ball rolling on YouTube. It's insane, dude.
I will say this, I've seen a lot of people trying to chase like bigger YouTubers or even for like the music industry, like bigger artists, and they're hoping that, you know, if they get a co-sign from them or if they get to work with this person that their career will be set. I got this advice like a couple years ago from one of my mentors and he said, don't waste your time trying to chase, you know, the people who are at the top because they're not going to do much for you anyways. Like realistically right now, sure, you have the podcast space, maybe, you know, me and you could help some of these top creators in a way, but in reality, what are we really providing for them until we get to that point ourselves? And so what he was saying was, don't chase the top creators. look right next to you, the people that are going to help you get to that next level of success are right in front of you, not above you. Because like you, like bro, you could be the next Colin and Samir, or you, and you know, he could be the next
Jamie.
He could be whoever, you know what I'm saying? And so like, I'd rather build with you because then we'll have a stronger connection. And when you get plays and you grow bigger, you're able to help me with stuff and vice versa. All these top creators, all these top artists, I hate to break it to some of these people, they don't care about you. Like they're so focused on their own thing. And at the end of the day, to become that successful, and when you have so much coming your way, you have to be hyper-focused. You're not going to be worried about helping out some 24-year-old kid or 23-year-old kid. Yeah. But you and I, we have more than enough time in the day and have the capacity to be able to help each other out. So I think that was the biggest game I ever got from somebody. And it's been dope because over the years, I've focused on that and I've been able to see some people who are killing it now. And it's so dope. And I think it's 100% true. Like, don't focus chasing the biggest creators. Focus on working with the people across from you.
1,000%. I agree with you completely because I think I fell victim to the chasing a little bit. Yeah. I was because I saw other creators do it, you know, just... But like the most they can really do for you, like David Dobrik, Arak, whatever, for example, like I've met these people multiple times, and literally the best they could do for you is refer you to other people who are like in your level or just give you their contact info, which 100%. You know, which is enough for me. And like you're right. People in our cohort on our level, if we know like 100 people chasing YouTube and social media and the creator economy, one of them has to pop. There's mm-hmm. just no way.
Yes, exactly.
And like in the past year, I've actually seen people pop. Like it's insane. I'm just like, oh, wow. Look at you, Josh. Oh, look at you, Aisha. You know what I mean? Yeah, look at you guys.
Shout out Aisha.
Yeah, out Aisha. Yeah, you know, these people are getting YouTube plaques now. These people are getting the ad revenue coming in. And it's just, you just got to keep ringing that bell, bro. You just got to keep going.
Yeah. And let's say, for example, like, you end up getting big, right? You're going to be able to have a role for me. Like maybe I could come and help you with like audio equipment or like,
yeah,
because we have more of a connection and you need people like that. But the top creators, they don't need to. I mean, yeah, they, at the end of the day, they do need to employ some people, and there are some outliers. Like, don't get me wrong. There are some creators that are chasing the content of like doing this for Arak or doing this for David, and it works and they get a lot of views. But I think longevity wise, if you look at the top creators, how did they get there? Mr. Beast did it with his friends. David did it with his friends. Logan did it with his friends. They didn't get a big cosign. But if you look at people in some of their camps, like look at Big Mike. I love his content.
Yeah, yeah.
But how did he get his start, bro? He got it from Logan. So yeah. At the end of the day, I think it's a balance. But I think to be the top, you have to do it on your own, bro.
Yeah. And I mean, there is no like social hacking is fine. Like mm-hmm. everyone does it, you know, using people in the title and thumbnail. Like Arak was like the king of that. You know, he pranked David Dobrik in the title. He literally chased Logan Paul, begging him for a job for one of his first viral videos.
Yeah.
And then I guess he got the same advice from your mentor. He was like, you know what? Like, I can't work for Logan Paul. I got to be my own person. And Mr. Beast, actually, he was actually chasing FaZe for a bit. He wanted to be FaZe.
I saw that, bro. I saw that.
Mr. Beast wanted to be FaZe Mr. Beast. Mm-hmm. Do you know how fucking insane that sounds now? FaZe, their stock is dead.
Yeah.
And Mr. Beast is now a billionaire. You know what I mean? Like, that happens to a lot of people, I think. Like, The Weeknd wanted to sign with OVO.
OVO. Great example.
Yeah. Like, all these people, they had the potential, but they, like, you know, signing with Drake and just getting easy paychecks sounds really safe. Mr. Beast, when he's a lower level creator, being in a phase, being in that corporation, it's like very safe, you know?
Yeah.
Arak working with Logan Paul, you know, it's a very safe thing. Money comes in, but, you know, you get really stagnated, you know? You stunt your growth, but you can, you know, these people realize I could be the shit.
Yeah.
I could be the business owner. I could be this and that. And I think that's really great advice from your mentor, bro.
Yeah,
100%. 1,000%, bro. Fuck Colin and Samir, bro. I'll be the next one.
No, dude. Seriously, bro. You could do it yourself because I think you'll always be in their shadow no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter how much success you have, like you could have 10 million, you know, on YouTube, but you'll still be known as, you know, technically being under them if they're still growing at that exponential rate. But if you're outgrowing them, I see that too.
Yeah. No, it's all
I did
good.
Like that Karate Kid. Yeah, shit, yeah. So I was like, but yeah, man, I say do your own thing.
Yeah, 1,000%, bro. But there's to the people watching, there is like no crime in being inspired from people.
Oh, you know? No, for
1,000, like I see all these people in LA who are like super inspired and like who are in Creator Now and stuff. Yeah, like people find their own way eventually, and it's so beautiful to see, bro. Just like everyone succeeding in our age group, you know, it's beautiful, man. Hell yeah.
I agree.
Yes, sir. You're going to be the medium for like the next like big pop stars. They're going to be signed on Tap and collaborating on Tap.
Yeah, I hope, man. That's the goal. I mean, ideally, you know, I could have had some positions where I could have been under somebody else, but I'd rather struggle for like a year or two, or not necessarily struggle, but just like do what I got to do on my own and not get the results that I desire.
Yeah.
But maybe if it comes next year or 2 years from now, then at least I got it my own way.
Yeah.
And I think that's the importance of it.
Sam Altman with Google. That was another one. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Now look at him, huh?
Yeah.
That's great.
We could hope, bro. We could hope.
That's a real thing, bro. That's a good video idea. People like, I don't know what to title it, but just the people who are under the thing and just get fucked over and just create their own thing, bro. Zuckerberg, Edward Severn.
Yeah,
good
yeah,
on the social network thing, bro.
There you go. That's actually one of my favorite movies, bro. I like it a lot.
No, it's fantastic, bro. Like sometimes, even though people like to see Timberlake, what's his, Sean Parker as the villain?
Sean Parker, yeah.
He really propelled that app into what it is now, you know what I mean?
I agree.
Napster. Sean Parker's crazy, bro. I think like he had a big position, or still does, at like Spotify.
Wait, really?
Yeah, like
I didn't even know that.
He was like the CEO for a while. Now I think he's just like on the board, but that's crazy, bro.
People... Oh, that's badass. I thought he failed. Failed, but like kind of fell off.
No.
Okay, good for him.
He never fell off. Yeah.
Shout
out Sean Parker, man. Yeah. Like that story he was telling at the bar to Zuckerberg about like the Victoria's Secret guy.
Oh, that's such a good scene, bro.
Yeah, bro.
That's such a good scene, bro. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah. And like I forgot what, like I think Sean Parker was telling Zuckerberg about a story about like this girl in high school or something that he liked. And then he was like, oh, what girl? I already forgot. Like, you know what I mean? He's up. A lot of people get driven by these things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's like a chip on their shoulder. That's always kind of a good thing to have in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same thing for us. When we first started off TCC Entertainment, there was a lot of people who didn't really see the potential in it. And I remember in passing, I heard some friends when we first started off trying to get other artists involved. And like, they would be like, nah, we're good. Like, what can they do for me? And then like 2 years later, they came trying to, you know, work with us. And like, I'll never forget stuff like that, but I'm still not going to be bitter and not work with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to hold yourself back by putting your ego above those things. And now it's super cool because just like the past year, bro, like we have people that were like, oh, we've been following up with you for years. Like when we go and talk to people, like in business meetings, like we're doing something for New York Design Week. And the guy who's organizing it has been saying that he's been following us on Instagram for like 3-4 years watching the content, like the interviews of YouTube, which is really, really cool to me because now we're at a point where those people who were growing up are now doing things in the industry. And so, yeah, man, I think at the end of the day, you know, you just got to keep pushing and it's not a quick game. And I think if you get it on your own, you win big, you know?
1000%, man. Like riding this wave, it's just a successful wave to be in, bro. And like you said earlier, and the same thing applied to me, is that you and I, we didn't grow up with cable, you know? We grew, like I come from a low income background. We didn't even have TVs or anything, bro. All I had was the internet.
Yeah.
And that was like the great equalizer, bro. Like I just watching YouTube all day, consuming that. And I was just realizing that all these people are just normal people.
They are, bro.
Who took up a camera and decided to upload on YouTube. And it gave them access to just thousands, if not millions, if not billions of fans. And that was always an insane thing to like grasp for me. You know what I mean? Like people will be watching those videos years from now. It's evergreen. It's always going to be there. And it can earn you ad revenue. It can earn you fans. It's made me friends, you know, which is so crazy to me, bro. Like, I've literally met through the interests that we have.
That's
of
cool.
YouTube. You know what I mean?
That's,
it's like
cool.
Practically my whole life. It's my entertainment. It's like, it's everything, bro. It's insane. Like, I'm sure a lot of people in my age group can relate. And it's just so crazy to me, man. Like, I don't look up to like Jimmy Kimmel. I look up to like Colin and Samir and like Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? I think those people are great interviewers.
Yeah. I mean, dude, when I was younger, basically everything that shaped my mind or who I am today, I think is video games and YouTube. And the video game that did it specifically was MapleStory.
Nice.
I don't know if anybody knows about that game, but
no, the side scrolling thing.
Yeah, dude, if you know about MapleStory, then you know. But you know, with YouTube specifically, I would come home, I would watch like Smosh, I would watch Fred, I would watch Shane Dawson at the time, I would watch Ryan Higa, I would watch PewDiePie, and then like
Ray William Johnson,
bro, legend.
Yeah.
And he's still doing his thing.
Yeah, he's technically doing better now than he was before.
Exactly, bro. I could go on and on. Like throughout the years, I watched so many different YouTubers. Woody's Gamer Tag, White Boy 7th Street.
Ooh, White Boy 7th Street with Destiny was crazy.
Yeah,
man.
Bro. I'm trying to think of who else.
He was the one that made the loot cave on Destiny, dude.
Yeah, bro. I mean, bro, I think White Boy 7th Street was an inspiration for a lot of people, or a lot of gamers now.
Yeah.
I saw some other Twitch streamers.
Like Ludwig.
Also, yeah. Or like Phantom from like AMP. I've seen some other people also mention him as well. I'm trying to think of who else I watched.
That's
when I was
so
up.
Crazy to me, bro. Like people watch these other people and get inspired by them, you know? And then it creates a whole new wave of just like, oh, I was inspired by Ryan Higa. Oh, like I was inspired by like, you know, that's crazy.
Let me get you one, bro. The prank era. That just hit me.
Yeah, yeah. Fousey
Tube. Fousey Tube. Roman Atwood. Vitaly, bro. Vitaly's a wild one. But especially Fousey because...
He's brown.
Yeah, but not only that, but I think the way that he turned his YouTube success into like borderline mainstream success was something that we had never seen before. I think now you see people like Kai Cenat or like Aiden Ross and they're doing it. But at the end of the day, if you take it back, like the first pioneer was technically Fousey.
Yeah.
He got that YouTube fame and then he transcended into mainstream. He was doing red carpet
movies.
He was Tyler in TV
Perry
shows. Bro, he was in Tyler Perry movies, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, you just reminded me of that one Fousey song, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get me started.
A lot of songs.
But, yeah, dude, I think he was dope to see, but another one is Kais Omar. I don't think a lot of people know about Kais.
Yeah.
He did like a bunch of different skits beforehand and then he transcended into like sneaker content.
Yeah.
And that's where Fousey got his start. Like I was watching Fousey and Kais's videos when Fousey didn't even have a YouTube channel. So it was very, very cool to see him go from zero
to hero
to where he is now. And you know, now he's back to kind of zero, but you know, I'm confident that he'll, you know, get back to where
he's been a up and down person, you know. But like for me, he said we mentioned all these people and they're all like white, you know, so whenever people kind of look like me or Muslim or like brown, you know, I was just like, dude, you know, someone from like my vibe is doing it. That's so crazy to me, right?
Yeah.
And I still think that's the case still, like to this day. Like all the big YouTubers, PewDiePie, Mr. Beast, all the 100 million subscriber people, they're all just like white dudes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you know, the only guy I can really think of that's like huge is like Mr. Who's the Boss or something, you know?
Mm-hmm,
That's like another like.
Or what about T-Series, bro? Come on, we got
well,
T-Series.
Well, that's music company. That's
a
Bollywood music video company, you know? So. There's not one entity, you know, it's not like a YouTuber, you know what I mean? It's not just one guy in his room, you know? That's what I think YouTuber is to me.
I'm 100% with you on that, bro. That's one of the things I'm super passionate about. TCC recently did a partnership with the Indonesian Creative Collective.
Yeah.
And they are very, very talented artists. They're very talented filmmakers. But the thing is, like, a lot of the times when you are, I guess, a minority, you can get typecasted into something. Or like only for certain movies or only for certain roles or only make a certain type of music. But why can't the next Indian creator, Indonesian creator, Afghan creator, Pakistani creator, Lebanese creator, whatever you want to call it, right? Why can't they be like a Mr. Beast?
Yeah.
Why do they have to make only like niche like brown skits?
Yeah, yeah.
Why can't it be a guy who makes nothing about brown content, but he's like the face of YouTube or whatever? And I think stuff like that is really important. And that's why like, bro, like I want you to kill it because if you kill it one day, my friend's son or my son can look at that and be like, okay, well, I can do this. Because at the end of the day, it always comes down to representation, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So one of the reasons why I was able to move to LA, as you know, with brown families, bro, that's not an easy thing to pursue like the entertainment industry. I had an example with my older cousin. You know, she lived in, she lived in Maryland at the time and she wanted to move out to LA to pursue acting and writing. And, you know, now she's, you know, focusing solely on writing. And she was that representation for me, you know, and that's important for people in our community or, you know, people in general. You need to have somebody who has done it before so that not only it can make it seem like it's possible for you, but also so that your family and other people who are in your support system can also support you a little bit better. Because if you're going out into the ether and there's no example prior to you, it's going to be a little bit harder for people to get convinced on the idea 1,000%. That you're trying to do. That's why I want to, you know, work with people like a Maya Sufi or work with the people like an Arman or work with people like a Infamous G. Because at the end of the day, if you could be a representation for generations to come, well, then you're forwarding people and bringing in a whole new wave. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't even think there's an Indian basketball player in the NBA yet. There is one that's really talented, but he's in
the
college ball. But after him, I don't think there's been anybody like a star, you know,
like,
what I'm saying?
Like we've seen how it happens. Like for Asian Americans, Jeremy Lin is an NBA champion.
Huge,
And like Yao Ming, but that's all they have.
Yeah.
You know?
But look at how many Asian ball players came after that, or people in high school that are now pursuing it.
Yeah.
Or people in college who are pursuing it. Like, bro, like brown people should not be like a cashier at 7-Eleven in a movie. Like we should be past that, bro. And like it shouldn't be like the next Leonardo DiCaprio should be brown is what I'm trying to get at. Like it shouldn't be like the next, you know what I'm talking about?
No, 1,000%. Like even like I saw like the African-American community, whenever they were in a movie, they always had to explain like, oh, I'm from the hood or I'm from Wakanda. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to be that. You could just when you watch like DiCaprio as the main hero, they don't have to explain that he's from Alabama or whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, DiCaprio's the hero, he's the main guy, that's it. That's why I really like the movie Tenet. Like, the main actor is black and then the second guy is Robert Pattinson. They don't have to explain that he's from Compton or anything. You know, he's just black and he's the hero and then that's it. Just move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that means a lot to me. Like, you know, FuziTube did like make like the Ramadan content and stuff and like the Muslim content. That's why like I really resonate with Colin and Samir, because he doesn't have to do the, oh, da, 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 I'm Indian, I am creating YouTube videos. Like, you know, he's just Indian and that's it.
Yeah. He's just making content. There should be people like that. And I think that's dope, because now you can look at him and you're like, well, now this makes the thing that I'm working on a little bit more realistic. And so I hope that one day I could do that for more people. And, you know, they look at somebody like me and they're like, okay, well, you know, he did it, I want to do it. Like, I want to be the representation. So when you're going to your parents and they're like, no, you need to be a doctor, or you need to be an engineer, you need to be a lawyer. Well, I love Fousey, bro, but I don't think he's a great, you know, example for you to say, I want to be like Fousey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want to be on top of a car and saying some wild shit, but, you know.
Doing drugs and
but,
stuff.
But I think you could work on some cool things and create some things that help out people and be involved in the entertainment industry. And if I could be that example for some people that will convince your mom or your dad or your uncle to go and pursue that dream, well, then I want to do that, you know.
Yeah, no, like, this is really a powerful thing. Like, I saw there was a podcast where MKBHD got kind of emotional because he saw people like in the tech niche of YouTube, like there's a lot of like a new influx of African American creators, and they all like accredited to like MKBHD that like, oh, since he was doing this as a kid, it made someone like me, like who's black, I could be nerdy and I could talk about like iPhones and shit. And I thought that was so dope, you know? There is gonna be a lot of that coming soon, you know what I mean? Like some Indian kid probably like 5 years is gonna have like 10 million subscribers and he's gonna be like, oh, I love Mr. Who's the Boss, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when I have like my YouTube plaque, I'll be like, yo, Colin and Samir were dope. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and now you got them sitting in this chair eventually. You will have them sitting in this chair.
For sure. I mean, we've connected digitally. Like I was recently in one of their videos and I don't know, it just felt crazy. Like, oh, we connected somehow, you know?
Yeah.
Our paths crossed. Even though it wasn't like IRL, but it's going to happen eventually. So.
Isn't that cool, bro? Like, growing up as a kid, I watched all these YouTubers, and being out in the mix in LA, like, I've been at events or functions where, like, I'm literally seeing these people that I grew up watching.
Yeah, I know.
And talking to them, chopping it up with them, and they're just regular people. And I think that's one of the biggest things to take away is, like, these people are not idols. These people are not special. None of these guys are as cool as you think they are. At the end of the day, they're all just human beings.
Yeah.
And once you can separate that and realize that not only you can do it yourself, but you could go and approach these people and work with them in some sort of capacity if it makes sense. Not saying, like I said earlier, you don't have to chase them, but if it comes to you and it's organic and there's a way for you to work with somebody that makes sense, then go do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's
1,000%.
That's the biggest thing about being here. It's like, it's not hard to run into these people either. Bro, we could literally walk out right now, like, Zane Hijazi's drinking some coffee.
Dude, I literally, yeah, like, it's so weird now. Like, whenever I watch YouTube, I like, you know, like, the 6 degrees of separation, it's like, oh, that's a Jason Nash. Yeah, I have his number. I've met him a couple times. Oh, Eric, yeah, I've met him. I've been in his videos a couple times. Oh, Dobrik, yeah, we just had lunch together. Like, it's just, like, everything converges. Once you get into LA, the separation between you and the big entities is not that far. You just have to grind to be that person, you know what I mean? Like, it's insane, bro. Life is insane, dude.
And that's why I'm going to miss it here, because I am, you know, to touch on the fact that I am moving to
Manhattan,
New York soon. You know, we got an office for Tapped, and shout out to Johannes, because like I said, he's more connected in the tech world. So he has access to a lot more investors and people who have these types of resources. Whereas like I'm more so getting like the artists on board and entertainers on board and getting us involved with like concerts and events, right? He's the one who's kind of building like the infrastructure, like I said, because I'm so all over the place and so disorganized. But the one thing he can do is like, you know, package what we're doing together and put in front of an investor and be like, hey, we need an office, or go to like a consultant and be like, hey, look out for us on this. And so that's what we did. We got a spot out in Manhattan in the financial district. This other startup had bought some office space and they had some room and they said, look, you guys could come through, like, you know, have your stuff here, dude. Do all your business here. And a lot of opportunities are lined up in New York because, as you know, I grew up on the East Coast, and, you know, when I lived in Virginia, I went back and forth to New York all the time. I have some people there that are just absolutely killing it, and, like, I'm getting calls from some crazy people, and they're literally trying to FaceTime me, like, people that I've looked up to, and, like, I'm too busy here, like, doing something else, or I can't go fly out because it'll get expensive.
Yeah.
I've flown out, like, 4 times to the East Coast this year, bro, and, like, jeez. I just want it to be done with, bro, because it's too expensive, and, like, bro, I'm not Mr. Beast, bro. Like, I'm just a kid running a startup in a media company. Like, I still need to, you know, stack up my bread, too, and
You can't write that off?
You can, but at the end of the day, it still hurts coming out of the pocket, bro. I wish somebody else would take care of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be real, bro. We're in a recession. So ideally, I'm going to move to New York. I have some plays put in place where, like, with the label, with Blank Canvas, shout out to them, my A&R for them as well. They're getting a property out here for the artists on the label. So, like, I'll have a place to always come back to here. So when that, you know, goes through, at least I'll have a place here and then a spot in New York. And yeah, man, we're just going out there because there's a lot more investors out there. And in order to secure the funding that we want to get, we have to be near the investors. They don't feel comfortable giving it to us if we're all the way on the opposite side of the country.
Are these like VCs that you're in contact with?
So that's what we were going to do. When we first started funding, we were talking to some VCs and it felt fishy because if they're this into the idea, then we clearly have something here.
Yeah.
It's like when you're signing to a record label, right? Like if you're a poppin' artist and you just come out the jump and you have a lot of attention, when you go in to sign that deal, you're only working off a small amount of portfolio or work or what have you. Whereas instead, if you waited like a year, now you go into the conversation with leverage. And now you could tell them, no, I'm not taking this percentage. You're giving me this. And so we kind of backtracked and we had some of our advisors tell us, like, you guys need to calm down. You don't need VC funding right now. We know you guys have held off for about a year. And this is something that I love to brag about. Our startup has only costed us 15 cents a month.
Jeez, bro. That's how frugal the domain name?
That's a brown in me, bro. We're frugal as hell, man.
That's crazy.
For the servers. And so you've seen the amount of like artists and users we've had and the marketing we've done and the people we've partnered with. 15 cents a month, bro. It's all been the strength of just
word of mouth and word of mouth marketing and UGC, dude. That's insane, bro. User generated content is like king, man. Like, that's crazy. I know like another brown, like CEO founder who's
he's stingy as hell, bro.
Oh yeah. He's stingy. Like, I don't know if you know Labib Yasser, but he founded his own company recently and they're all doing the same thing, bro.
Yeah. You got to, bro.
Yeah. When meeting with venture capitalists, that seems so scary to me, bro. But do you prepare like pitch decks and like what you want to receive from them and stuff? Like, is that 100%. What goes on?
Yeah, I mean, we can't go into it like completely unorganized and just freestyling it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be surprised if they want to give us funding after that. But no, we have pitch decks put in place. Usually what we'll do is like we'll prep them with an email beforehand showing like a recent article like about our story. That way they could get like a quick, like I guess 1 minute rundown.
Yeah.
And then we give them our pitch deck, our website, just like a brief email that explains what we're doing and, you know, what we plan on getting them involved for. And so we dialed it down and now we're focusing on just getting angel investment. And so that's basically getting funding from like people that we know, friends of friends. And that'll last us basically like a year so that we could survive in New York and hire like another developer to come and help out with the project. Ideally making us comfortable without getting a big lump sum of money, because I wanted to fundraise like last year.
Yeah.
I was ready. But my co-founder, Johannes, like I said, he's like the anchor. He did a great job at like letting me know, like, dude, we can do this without the funding. We don't want to give out a big chunk away. VCs are like record labels, so let's hold off. And we can still do it. Let's go into these conversations with leverage. And so that's what we've been doing, man. I mean, it's ideally been going really well. The app crashed last week because of like a bunch of people were getting on. There was a lot of activity on it.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have.
Bro, but we were freaking out. I'm not going to lie, bro. Because, you know, usually...
It's like Zuckerberg at that party. We never crash.
Bro, the thing is like, usually if there's an issue, I can do something to attempt to try and fix it. But I was sitting there, I was like, I don't know what we're supposed to do, bro. I'm not the developer. I'm sitting there catching myself at like 2 a.m. learning how to code. I'm like, bro, what am I doing? I just need to sit down, relax.
Yeah.
The developers will take care of it and we'll be fine, bro. Everything will be cool. And you'd be surprised, bro. I thought if we crashed and we were down for a couple of days, a lot of people would be like, man, we lose faith in this app.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, man, screw these guys. Bro, the app turned back on the day it came back. Like, the analytics I'll show you afterwards.
Yeah.
The same amount of attention from the day before that it crashed. So we had the same amount of momentum.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's like a good problem to have. It's like opening up a restaurant. You're like, fuck, there's too many customers. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a bad problem. But like, I wanted to ask you, like, creating a tech startup and an app in this day and age with the rise of AI, has this been like assisting you or like holding you back? Because I feel like you don't have to hire coders for very simple tasks anymore. You could just ask like many AI apps to do it for you.
I don't want to expose the developers too much, but they are using some AI to help out with the
app. No, 1000%. Yeah. Like,
just going to keep being transparent.
I think it'd be stupid not to, you know, like if you're a new company and you don't incorporate new technologies that are being presented to you, like, then you're just stupid. Like, that's just like Amazon not using the internet. It's just like, you know what I mean? You
100% have to use, you're holding yourself back.
Yeah,
bro, I use ChatGPT for everything, bro. I pay the $20 a month. I'm
you're
using
on GPT
ChatGPT
4, huh?
4, bro. Like,
yeah.
I'm going all into it. Like, any way that I could get it involved and make my life easier, I'm 110% with it.
Yeah.
However, there are some times when it comes to art and creativity. I think it should take a step back.
Yeah.
Just because I think there's something beautiful in the way that, like, when I look at a painting right now, right? This could be an AI generated image, which, to be honest, it probably is.
Yeah.
There's no struggle, there's no emotion, there's no story behind it. It's just, this is the image, here you go.
No.
Or do you argue that there is
sort of struggle? You know, like, I always think about it like this, like, you know, like, when you go down Hollywood Boulevard, you see people doing caricatures or portraits of people.
Yeah.
I could just take a selfie of myself right now, and it's going to be picture, like, perfect, literally, you know? But there's something, you know, like, commendable about, like, seeing someone draw a portrait of you, like, by hand, and it's like, that's what gives it meaning, you know?
Yeah, and you remembering that was in Hollywood Boulevard and you were with your friends, and that's why you got it, right? Because it's like, not only did it commemorate like a time in your life, even if it's not that special, but like, yeah, let's say you were on vacation, you went to Hollywood Boulevard, that's what made it important.
Yeah.
I feel like if you just went on and got a caricature off an AI image generator, it doesn't have that same feeling.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think sometimes when with AI, it should take a step back. Sure, you know, if people want to use it for thumbnails and other things, that's cool. But if you're going to make music or you're going to make any other form of art, even movies, I don't think you should be using it. Maybe to tweak some things or look over some grammatical errors when you're writing a script.
No.
But it should be assisting you a little bit, not completely taking over the whole idea.
It's like having like a really smart best. It's like having Jarvis as Tony Stark. You know?
That's the same thing I say.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, if you're not using Jarvis, then you're dumb. It's just like, it's going to make your life easier. Just use it. You know what I mean? Like, especially for, like, you and I, we're not really that experienced in coding, but this thing knows all the languages pretty well, better than me at least.
Yeah.
So why not use it?
So why would I stop myself from doing that 100%?
Yeah. And I think, like, you just have to ride the wave, or if not, you're going to be left behind for sure. Like, there's just no way, you know? I think this is, like, something that's going to shake up the world, and it's finally going to, like, create the divide of just, like, you know, old people and us. You know, they're going to die off eventually. We're going to be the one that's left, so we just have to... We got to use it, man.
You know what's really funny? I showed one of my older cousins it a while back, and he was kind of against the idea first, and he works for the government.
Yeah.
And so now with ChatGPT, he uses like some other program as well, which automates everything through Microsoft, like Excel, Word,
yeah,
and all those things. I forgot what it was, but you could technically like put in certain steps. So like if you get data from here, plug it into Microsoft Word and then have it go to Microsoft Excel or whatever, and then whatever, whatever. And so he uses ChatGPT to also automate some of like the copywriting stuff or to write up emails. He says he just wakes up in the morning, you know, he just turns on the automation and his job is basically done. He just kicks back, puts his feet on the table, and he's good to go.
No, yeah, that's like Bard was showing off some of that stuff a couple of days ago with Google Sheets and Google Docs, which is like same thing, plug and play, Microsoft, Google. They're fighting each other, dude.
Yeah, bro.
They're doing the same thing. But yeah, I mean, what I've always thought is that like that's basically what life is that like you get yourself educated, you know, you go to college, not so you can work at like at a warehouse or in construction. You do it so you get a high paying job so you don't work hard, you know what I mean? Most of these office jobs that I've worked, it's just like, man, it's crazy, bro. People get paid six figures to sit in Zoom meetings and send a couple emails,
that's
bro.
Thing, yeah.
That's fucking insane,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I think some of those things should be automated because it'll save companies more money and it'll allow people to work other jobs. Like I saw this thing on my phone today. There was back in the day, I believe in the 1930s, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was like professional bowling holders or whatever, bowling pin holders. So they would sit here, right? And like a bowler would come in and they would, you know, let the bowling ball go and then it would hit all the pins, right?
Yeah.
And then you know how now we have the machines where they can pick them back up. Back in the day, you'd be sitting right here and then you would have to go and pick them up. And then when those machines, or somebody invented that machine for people to no longer be sitting there and doing that, that allowed people to work other jobs. Yes, it replaced their jobs and they didn't need anybody like that anymore, but that allowed people to focus on other things. Similar with like computers, right? Or even with crypto, when like innovative things like this come into play on like a mainstream level, at first there's a lot of doubters and people think that it's gonna take over the world and ruin everything, just like with computers, just like with cell phones.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're not receptive or open to it, you could be missing a really, really good opportunity to not only make your life easier, connect with more people, but also potentially make a lot of money for your company, business, or what have you.
And 1,000%.
So, bro, you know, if you look back, like in old textbooks or just old research papers, like people were genuinely scared of like computers.
Yeah.
And like now you look at a computer as something that's in your living room. And even then, like some people might not even have a computer anymore. They just care about having their phone with them all the time.
It becomes a necessity, you know? Yeah. Similar to what you said about like the bowling thing, like, in 2007, I believe, like after the release of the first iPhone, alarm clocks and stopwatches, like companies that specialize in that, like almost died.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of them did die. Like I heard like 60% of them died. And that's crazy, you know, because like, have you bought an alarm clock ever?
I haven't, bro.
Have you bought a stopwatch ever?
I haven't, no.
No, because you have it in your iPhone.
Yeah.
You don't fucking need it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to happen to a lot of companies. It's just like, do we need copywriters anymore? Fuck no, you don't. Yeah. You don't. So that person's job is done. And do you need like basic level coders who can do C++? Unfortunately, you don't anymore. Mm-hmm. But like higher level guys, obviously, you know what I mean? But you know, it's just, that's just how things go, man. That's just how the world works, you know?
I think it makes us more innovative too, which is pretty cool, because there was this developer who just got into coding. He used a bunch of AI and it helped him create like a movie review app or whatever. And in 2 days, the app was on the App Store.
Dude.
And so now if you have an idea, like if you don't have the resources, right? Like there's probably super talented kids in like the Middle East or, you know, in Africa that have great ideas, but now they have phones, right? Imagine now they can use that AI to bring their idea to life. And now there's a better idea in the world, whereas like a lot of people are held back because of resources or funding and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I probably, or somebody probably couldn't afford like a phone back in the day to use it as a stopwatch or to use it as a camera. But now phones are relatively cheap. If you get like the older versions, like an iPhone 6, I'm sure you have foreign families, like you could, people buy phones for their families back home and then they send it over there for them to use.
Yeah.
And now they can communicate and text people and take photos like they couldn't before. And maybe a kid from another country could take a really good photo and end up getting a full photography job and then getting flown out here.
You know? It changes the playing field, and it you know, the limit becomes like just limitless, you know, like the sky, what's the sky is the limit, the sky is the ceiling or whatever, yeah, you know, yeah. What I mean, like it's crazy, like every new innovation just opens up new doors, mm-hmm. You know, like so many just people wouldn't be around, like it's weird, like I always think of this sometimes, but like imagine like Bill Gates never invented the personal computer. It's like, oh, that means people couldn't send emails, that wouldn't exist, then communication would be off, and then everything would be stunted, you know?
Yeah.
If the Wright brothers never created the plane, then like travel would be stunted forever. You know, you and I
we probably wouldn't even be meeting.
No, yeah, we'd be back home, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, bro.
So that's the thing, like these inventions change history forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, you know, it just opens up possibilities. That's what it does. And that's never going to be unmatched, you know? Sam Altman, dude, you just changed the fucking world, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think for older people, I think they can't see it yet, because with these inventions, it's like hardware. You can see it. Oh, like a phone. Okay, I see it. A car, electric car. Ah, I see it. A plane, I see it. But with artificial intelligence, you just can't see it. Older people can't see it. They don't really know what it is. So they don't know what's coming to them, bro. It's crazy, yeah. Dog.
I think a lot of people are also stuck in a way of thinking, like based on how they grew up.
Yeah.
Like, you know how some people will never admit that, like all my older cousins or like older mentors and stuff that I have that grew up in like the MJ era.
Yeah.
They will never admit that LeBron is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Because that's what they grew up with. There's like a different type of emotional investment they have with somebody like MJ, or like if they grew up with computers or they grew up with a certain type of music, they're not going to be as receptive towards something like new that is nothing like what they grew up in.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So I feel like, maybe one day, like there'll be some sort of new technology and I'm only like, man, I'm only sticking with AI,
yeah.
But I don't like SI, which is like super intelligence.
Yeah, or
like
AGI, that's for idiots,
maybe I
bro.
Might be like a hating old head and I'm super like progressive in my thinking, but maybe when I'm 45, I might be like, man, screw that new version of TikTok. I like the old Instagram and I like the old TikTok. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
I
like,
feel
it's,
like that's how people are.
It's like people who still hold on to like newspapers, which is like a waste of paper and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, that you get one newspaper from like the New York Times, I could go on Google, find everything. I could, you know, it's crazy, bro. You know, it just changes shit, dude. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, bro. Can I get into something?
Yeah,
bro. I want to see you keep posting. Like, I know I just came on your podcast, bro.
Yeah.
But I think, bro, I literally sat there, and this is me being brutally honest, and maybe I might be coming off as an asshole. When I see your podcast and I look at it, if I didn't know you, I probably wouldn't have stumbled upon it and clicked on it, right? But when I watch your podcast, bro, it's good stuff. Like, I sat there and I was listening throughout my whole car ride. And then I got out the car. I was like, let me throw on the other episode. And not because, like, I'm genuinely coming on here, but because I was interested. You were talking about, like, MJ. You were talking about LeBron. You were talking about creators. I feel like you got to start posting more, bro. I want to see you post more. Because once a month, bro, is just not cutting it.
You know, maybe it's not, but maybe, like, it's a play. Maybe it's, like, scarcity, you know?
You think so?
I think so. Maybe it's because I'm not around that much, you know? If, like, Tom Cruise made a movie every month,
it wouldn't feel the same.
Maybe I do need to increase my frequency, but I think scarcity is always a good thing, you know? Like, you know how people are like, oh man, I wish David Dobrik would post another vlog again or whatever, but you see him on Snapchat posting every second of his life and it's kind of like, oh, you know,
you lose that mystique almost.
Mystique, yeah, that is a big play. And like same thing, I don't know, like I noticed it with like Tobey Maguire like a couple years ago. No one knows what the fuck he does, but then when he pops up in Spider-Man, you're like, oh my god, I haven't seen this guy in such a long time. That's so crazy, you know? And yeah, like it's scarcity is definitely a thing, bro. Like I try to keep it everything quality over quantity. I post a lot on my shorts feed a little bit to get the quantity up.
I've seen that you went viral on Snapchat too, got that $1,000 check.
Dude, that was insane. Yeah. Snapchat, out of all the things, I got paid from Snapchat. Bro, that's wild. Spotlight, dude, shout out.
We got to talk after this. I want to get into that because I used to run it up on Snapchat like 4 or 5 years ago and I kind of took like a halt on it.
Yeah.
But this year when I move back to the East Coast, like I'm really going to start pushing like my own content because I've been kind of like you. Like I don't want people knowing what I'm doing. I want that feeling of mystique almost.
Yeah.
And then like when I feel like I'm finally ready and in a place where I could go ham with the content, I will. And that time is coming when I get on the East Coast. So if you guys want to check any of that out, I guess DM me on IG. The link will probably be in the description or I'll probably be
Ilias
commenting
Anwar
on it.
_.
Yep. So
yes, sir.
I will be posting a lot more. So I want to hear more about Spotlight because I've heard some crazy, crazy stories.
Dude, you wouldn't even believe. I produce for a YouTuber and
Kel Neobandi, right?
Kianel Bandy. Yeah, he's he makes a living off like the internet.
Snapchat.
Yeah. So it's insane, bro. Like the creator economy is just stupid. Like if you think about it, like. Technically I make a living off the creator economy. I work as a podcast producer, which is just people creating and uploading podcasts on the internet. I produce for a YouTuber, which means I edit and stuff for him and he puts it on YouTube. So I'm a cog in the wheel.
You work with Divij, right?
Yeah, Divij Waswani. Yeah, that guy's a brand deal goat.
He's a G, bro.
He records right here.
I know, bro. I've seen the produce the podcast. Him. Shout out Divij, man. That guy is a player, bro.
Yeah,
he's killing it, bro.
Jeff Wittig, Logan Paul, George Janko. He's in there, man. A fellow Brown guy, you know? He's doing his
That's
thing.
That's what, exactly, bro. I love to see what he's doing because that gives other people hope. Like, look, I could do this too.
Yeah, like...
He's not a doctor, bro.
He's not, yeah. But you know he is in fact a millionaire off the creator economy, and it's crazy. I have him on my phone. We talk here and there. It's amazing, bro.
I will say this about Divij: he's very real. Like some things that I've been able to help out with him, he's always looked out for me, and he's always pulled me to the side and made sure, like in terms of financial stuff, like if I was supposed to get paid for something, he's always asked and always double checked and triple checked. And he's a good person, bro.
He's a very good person. And but it's just like, you know, it's crazy, dog. The creator economy's crazy. You were talking about the Michael Jordan thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought about, like, he couldn't win on the Wizards.
You said this in the podcast that I saw, bro.
It's just like LeBron won three different teams, bro.
Yeah,
he won
so.
In the he won in the, you know, Heat, Cleveland, and Lakers. That's not an easy thing, bro. He jumped conferences and won. People were like, oh, LeBron's only good in the East. That was like their argument. And then he won in the West. He has the most points in NBA history against like the best players in NBA history. Like he has to go against the greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has to go against Kobe Bryant. He had to. Steph Curry. He had to go against so many people. And, you know, he doesn't have 20 rings, but he lived in a harder time, I feel like. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I think that argument is also a little bit trickier because if we're like, okay, we're going by rings, right? Well, then MJ technically isn't even winning by rings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However, I will say this. I grew up watching MJ more than I did LeBron.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was more like raised on like the internet and stuff. So I was always watching MJ highlights. I can see where you're coming from when it comes to like, oh, he was versing like plumbers or they weren't even like real ball players back in the day. I think the main reason why people call Jordan the GOAT is because of like his clutch factor.
No, 1,000%.
And I think that killer instinct is what makes people like hype about him. Like, you know, he could be in any situation and more than, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's probably going to come out of it strong. Now, don't get me wrong. I think LeBron is a beast, but I think he's like a all around player. And like when people consider the GOAT, I think they're also talking about like if there's 3 seconds left on the clock, who would you rather have shoot that?
Iguodala.
I want Iguodala.
You're funny, bro. You're funny. But you get what I'm saying? Like, I think that conversation is hard, bro. Like, but I do see the hype around LeBron, and I do love LeBron. And, bro, arguably an all-around player, I don't think there's anybody better than him.
No,
But I still think MJ is a GOAT.
I think
culturally, because he had and LeBron like, did have a cultural impact
with Nike and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's he brought so much interest into the game of basketball. You know, it's insane. But to me, it's just like, dude, fucking, what's the word here? What am I looking for?
Why do you think LeBron is a GOAT? Because he's an all-around great player?
No, I mean, it's just like what he's had to face, bro. Like, you know, what am I looking for? So
adversity?
No. Like, he was famous, like, 18 out of high school, you know? So he had to live up to whatever, like, myth or mystique.
Standard.
The standard. And whatever pedestal they were putting him on, right? He was like, oh, this 18-year-old straight out of Cleveland, Ohio, and he's the number one pick, and he has to live up to that, you know? And he exceeded that by a lot. He became, like, top three, top two, top one greatest basketball players of all time. And I see nowadays, like, oh, like the Zion Williamsons or this number one pick. You know, they just never live up. Like Greg Oden or whatever. You know, you could be the number
one. It's hard to live up to that height.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this with one of my friends the other day.
So it's just like he not only lived up to it, but he exceeded, like, what he was supposed to do. That's insane to me. He could have been injured by year three and not done anything with his life, and we would have just forgot. But he said, fuck it, I'm the greatest ever. That's crazy, bro. He's still going. He's old as shit, and he's better than some young players, which is so crazy to me. And then, like, he still has, like, one legendary moment left on the bucket list, playing with his son on the same team.
That's going to be badass. I actually can't wait for that, bro.
Yeah, and that's crazy, too, you know? Like, his sons also had to live up to that dream. MJ's son is now fucking his teammate's wife or whatever. So, you know what I mean? It's just, like, that's just how life goes, bro.
So you're talking more in terms of, like, legacy and, I guess, exceeding expectations because there was so much pressure on him at the time.
Yeah.
Do you feel like MJ did not exceed those expectations either?
It's not about, like, exceeding or, like, because I feel like he met what he had to do, and especially when he had the two-year baseball break, he came back and won, you know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy, bro. But he didn't win for the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean.
I look at it like this, like in music, like Drake has a phenomenal career and Jay-Z had a phenomenal career, but I don't think you can even really compare the two.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, GOATs. And people would argue that Drake is the new age GOAT.
Yeah.
And they would say that Jay-Z is the GOAT prior. So, realistically, can you even compare the two? No, I don't think you can really even compare MJ and Bron. But I think you could compare MJ and Kobe. Because Kobe, you know, played similar to him. And they had a more similar career. And, you know, they were both... Well, Kobe was with the same team the whole time. MJ was mainly with the same team the whole time throughout his career. Whereas, like, LeBron is, like... went from team to team to two team. And there's also something to say about his excellence and being able to win championships for all those other teams. But I would be curious just to see how his career would have went. And I think it would be a way better argument if he just stayed with Cleveland the whole time.
Interesting.
And then, you know what I'm saying? And then I think it's more comparable to be like, okay, you know.
I think I'm going to disagree with you on
that. You're
going
to disagree with me? All right, let's see.
All I'm going to say is that, like, the thing about, like, LeBron, right, is, like, you just take him, and you put him on a dog shit team like Cleveland or the Lakers back then, they become a champion contender.
Okay.
And they win. So they go from zero to fucking winners just by one guy. And sure, maybe putting that person there attracts some new talent and, you know, the team starts putting in more money or whatever. You know, there's many factors, but just the fact that you can put one guy on a team and make it a championship contender is fucking insane, dude. You know what I mean?
I mean, bro, I digress because we're in LA, so I might not even be able to walk out safe after saying what I said.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
no,
even.
I'm just playing.
I'm
playing.
Not even that big of, like, a LeBron fan, but it's just crazy. Like, I always wonder, like, what if Kobe played for, like, the Dallas Mavericks or the Hornets? I mean,
he got drafted to the Hornets.
Like,
yeah.
What would happen? Like, could he win for the Dallas Mavericks? Could Steph Curry win for Charlotte Hornets? Could Steph Curry win for Miami Heat? You know, it's just
yeah,
you know.
It's kind of like a similar with Tom Brady. I know I'm jumping from sport to sport.
He won for the other team he went to.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That is true. Because the argument beforehand was like he has a great system.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And you take a old ass Brady and you put him in the Buccaneers and he wins. Buccaneers never stood a chance before you put Brady in the system.
That's true.
So it's like
damn, you got me. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
So it's like playing imagine you're playing like 2K or Madden, right? It's like, and you know, like my team where you create your own team and get cards, you get LeBron. It's you're like, oh shit, I could pass to him and he's going to
make it every time.
And he elevates everyone else. Oh, on Madden, I got Brady. That means every time I throw a ball, like it's like, you know, there's a high chance I'm just going to do better. So
I don't know, bro. If I'm playing 2K though, if I had the choice to pick between Bron or MJ, on my team, I'm picking MJ.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, we gotta play 2K,
bro. Yeah, I'm down, bro. Do you need to add 2K into this podcast, bro?
Yo, let's play.
I'm streaming on the screen.
In my head, I'm like, I could probably beat you with the Heat, bro. Ray Allen,
Dwayne
Wade.
You're bugging. Ray Allen's a great 2K player. He's actually one of my favorites. Whenever I play Blacktop, Ray Allen in the corner, bam, swish. It's over, bro.
We gotta run 2K. We gotta test this out, bro.
I'm down, bro. I'm 100% down.
Anyways, guys, this was my boy, man. Fucking, I almost called you Elias again.
No, you're good, bro.
Bro, this is my guy, Elias, right here. Yes, he is a founder of companies that are just doing well, and he picked the right time and place to do it. You know, the creator economy. I'm really proud of you. You know, as a fellow Brown guy from behind the scenes, I'm like, I like what this guy is doing. You know,
you as well, man. You as well. I want to see you win.
Dude, I love seeing people in our cohort win, man. It's like a no hate thing. It's like, yeah, man, it's possible, bro. It's crazy. And I really like wish you the best of luck on everything, bro. Because you know, if you achieve it, then it's just good for our entire community, man. You know what I mean?
I love that, man. It was a great podcast.
Great podcast.
Appreciate it, homie.
All right, thank you guys for watching. His social media and all his stuff is going to be linked down below on the screen, whatever I feel like editing. So, yeah.
It's up to you, man.
Let's get it. LeBron James, chalk toss. I'm not going to edit that in.